From the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX, this is Reveal. I'm Al Ledson. And today we return to an episode that first aired back in February. On Friday before Thanksgiving, late afternoon, 2009, Joey Petty had a job nobody wanted. He had to go into this tugboat the size of a large house and paint the crawl space underneath the engine room.
You know, it's like a 2-foot by 2-foot horseshoe-shaped tank goes right under the engines, and they got holes in them you got to crawl through about the size of a 5-gallon bucket. So I'm a small person, so guess who always got stuck in the little places?
He knew it was going to be uncomfortable, crawling around on his hands and knees, dragging a paint hose with a spray gun at the end. He also knew it was going to be dangerous. He got a plastic onesie and goggles to keep the paint off his skin, but in a confined space like that, he'd also need industrial fans. Even with a respirator, the fumes could build up in his lungs.
You know, it's like going underwater, diving without air. You know, you can't breathe underwater. Same way with painting.
But when Joey checks out the engine room, there aren't any fans. So he goes to his boss, Danny Cobb.
And I told Danny Cobb, I said, I'm not spraying that without no ventilation. He said, well, if you don't spray it, you're fired.
Joey doesn't want to get fired. On the Gulf Coast in Mississippi, shipyard jobs pay some of the highest wages for workers without a college degree. But he also doesn't want to breathe in toxic paint fumes. So he scrounges a fan from another ship and walks down the dock to the tugboat.
As I was stepping on the boat, it just a boom, boom, boom. 3 big flashes. Explosions.
For a moment, he just stands there. And then people start to stream out of the boat on fire.
The young gentleman, he come out there and hollering, help me, and his skin was just dripping off of him. A guy named Robert, he was coming off, he had a head on fire. I said, man, he put your head out. He just walked on out the gate. He didn't grab his hard hat or clothes or nothing, he just left.
The two men still inside the boat were dead. Joey was a shipyard painter and sandblaster for 28 years, all across the country. So we asked him, if he made a list of all those shipyards from the safest to the most dangerous, where would he rank this shipyard, owned by V.T. Halter?
V.T. Halter, they would be between half and three-quarter down the list. They not the worst one, by no means. I've seen some bad places. But that's what you got to do to feed your family in this corner of the world.
This corner of the world. The Gulf Coast of Mississippi and Alabama is kept afloat economically by the shipbuilding industry. But the shipbuilders are kept afloat by you and me and other U.S. taxpayers because most of the money going to companies like V.T. Halter, billions of dollars each year, comes from contracts with the U.S. military. Reveal's Jennifer Gollin has been following those billions, digging into how the U.S. Navy awards contracts to shipbuilders, and asking if those contracts make workers like Joey more safe or put them in harm's way. We'll have an update at the end, but first, the story that aired a few months ago. Here's Jennifer.
The first guy that Joey saw running off the boat, the guy whose skin was melting, that was Bram Yates. He actually survived, and he's the key to understanding what happened in the boat that day and what happened after. He's now divorced and living at his mom's house in Moss Point, Mississippi, on a street that dead-ends at a swamp.
He must be Bram.
I met him there with my colleague, good. Stan Alcorn.
Stan. How are you?
Good. How about yourself?
Good. Good.
Bram is 36, but he carries himself like someone much younger. He slouches, shuffles his feet, and he's always drinking root beer.
Just having a morning root beer?
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Is that your thing?
He shows us around the yard where there are these pit bulls chained to posts. Lola, Dixie, and Achilles.
Just like the warrior.
They look ferocious, but they're actually quite sweet. Achilles stands up on his hind legs and gives Bram a big hug.
Hey, love. Hey, love.
And then we go inside to meet Bram's mom, Liz.
We got 3 families. Come on.
10 people live in her small 3-bedroom house.
But I've still got a couch free because Bram sleeps in the recliner.
every adult in this house, Bram, his mom, his stepdad, his brother, and his sister-in-law, they all worked in the shipyards, so they know it's a dangerous job. But nothing could have prepared Liz for what she saw at the burn unit that day. She saw her son with burns over half of his body, and his head, it was severely swollen.
When I first saw him, I thought, my God, his head looked like a basketball. And I thought, son, you're not going to survive this. You're not going to live.
What did the doctors tell you?
Well, they kept telling me it was a day-to-day thing, is all they told me. They did tell me that he can never hold a job in the sun again or in heat or anything like that because he'll have a sunstroke and he'll die before he knows it.
That's because the burns on his arms, legs, back, and chest left him unable to sweat. The doctors also told Liz that because of his head injury, Bram would have short-term memory problems.
Like I tell him, Bram, go feed the dogs. And he'll walk out there with the bucket, and he'll stand there and look around, and he'll set the bucket down. And he's looking around, and you can tell he's confused because he can't remember what he was going to do. And I'll say, go feed the dogs, Bram. And, oh, yeah, and he'll pick the bucket up. He'll start, and he'll look around again, and I'll sit there, and I'll laugh. I thought, them dogs are never going to get fed today.
That afternoon, we went with Bram back to the shipyard. We also took Joey Petty, the painter who witnessed the explosion.
Glad to see you. You're doing okay, brother.
Glad to be here.
Yeah.
It was the first time they'd seen each other since the accident.
You blessed, that's for sure. So good Lord was looking out for you.
No other reason why I'm here.
V.T. Halter wouldn't let us tour the shipyard. So we chartered a boat up the Pascagoula River, passing shipyards left and right where both Joey and Bram had worked. And then...
That's the death yard.
The death yard, Bram calls it. V.T. Halter Shipyard in Escatawba. The day of the explosion, Bram and Joey were working on a tugboat being built for a private shipping company. It was floating right here next to this dock. Bram was getting the engine room ready so Joey could paint it. He was using tape and aluminum foil to cover all the valves and pipes. At the same time, other workers were prepping the crawl space underneath the engine room. Bram couldn't see them, but he started to smell the paint thinner they were cleaning with. It was wafting out of the manhole near his feet.
And that's whenever I come and told them they need to do something about that smell. It was making me nauseous, making me sick in my stomach. I shouldn't be smelling it out here like that.
By law, someone should have been testing the air in the crawl space, but no one did. It should have been ventilated with powerful fans, but it wasn't. So the paint thinner fumes were building up in the air to what investigators later determined was more than 600 times the legal limit.
They said just a snap of your fingers like that, just a friction from your fingers right there could have caused that explosion.
So they should have been using explosion-proof lights. Lights that have barriers to isolate heat and sparks, which keeps them from igniting any flammable vapors. But a guy working with Bram told him the men underneath were using the kind of lights you might find in your garage. Bram walked back to the manhole.
I told him, I said, all right, now give me them. Boom. I was trying to tell him to give me them lights and get out, but they gave me a light, all right.
An orange fireball shot out of the hole. Bram instinctively put his hands down to protect himself, and then he pulled them up to shield his face.
That replays in my mind constantly. It's just like a skipping CD. You know how a CD is skip on one word? I mean, that's just what it does. All day, every day. It never goes away. It never stops. I had nightmares for a while. Had a lot of anger issues there for a while. I pushed my wife away, I pushed my kids away, pushed everybody away from me. So I finally learned how to deal with it and how to live with it. And people wonder why I don't smile the way I used to smile. It's kind of hard to force a smile sometimes, you know what I mean? You replay that through your mind constantly, all day, every day. I'm tormented 24/7. never goes away.
On the boat, Joey tells Bram something he hadn't heard before.
Oh, you see them rusty old boxes out there? They got paint on them, different colors. Those are gang boxes.
Gang boxes look like giant toolboxes. They're scattered around the shipyard. Joey tells Bram that some of them contained unused explosion-proof lights and fans that could have prevented the explosion. But Joey says their boss, Danny Cobb, kept those gang boxes under lock and key.
They wouldn't let nobody use them.
Because if he were to use them, they'd get messed up. He'd have to order more and it'd come out of the paint budget, and that would interfere with his bonus.
That really pisses me off. He's more worried about his bonus than he was saving our lives.
Over the phone, Danny Cobb denied Joey's story, saying it was crazy before hanging up. But a second painter, David Gillette, independently confirmed it. To really understand what happened to Bram, I felt like I needed to see another shipyard in action. So I found one nearby that was building a very similar tugboat, Steiner Shipyard. It's a family-owned shipyard, and it's fairly small compared to V.T. Halter. But there are cranes swinging huge pipes and workers welding together the skeleton of a ferry. I speak with Steiner Shipyard's owner, Russell Steiner, inside the engine room of the tugboat. The whole time, dozens of men in hard hats are working all around us, balancing on wooden planks.
We're installing engines. We're doing all the electrical work for the engines and the alarm systems. All of this almost has to be completed at one time.
Next to us, there's a manhole, down to the bottom of the boat, a lot like where the explosion started at V.T. Halter. My colleague Stan asks if someone was going to clean down there with paint thinner.
Would they take a bucket of paint thinner?
I don't know of us ever cleaning with paint thinner.
Russell says when they work with a chemical that's toxic or flammable, they do it with proper fans and explosion-proof lights. But in a cramped, hard-to-ventilate space like the one below us?
Usually maybe a vacuum cleaner and wire brushes would be what we would be working on. But we just wouldn't go inside that tank and put a man with paint there.
When V.T. Halter failed to test the air for flammable gas, when they failed to use explosion-proof lights and ventilation, they were breaking federal law. And the official enforcing that law, that was this guy.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Mississippi.
Thank you so much. For 23 years, Clyde Payne was in charge of the local office of the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, or OSHA.
And we oversaw the safety and health of several million workers here in Mississippi.
For Clyde's team of fewer than 20 safety inspectors, making sure that all these workers were safe was like trying to hold back the ocean.
Because these facilities aren't getting frequent inspections. I mean, maybe once a year, maybe every few years. But to inspect all the facilities, OSHA is not staffed for that.
Instead, Clyde and his team of investigators are generally reactive. They go in after something bad happens. He and his team went to V.T. Halter the day after the explosion.
The physical damage was not as massive as you might think. But you just feel the emotion of the loss of life in the air.
For months, they would come by, collect evidence, and interview employees. But Joey Petty, the painter who saw the whole thing happen, says they never heard his side of the story. Every time they appeared, he says his boss, Danny Cobb, would send him to work at another V.T. Halter shipyard.
That was pretty easy to figure out. I'm not a smart man, but I'm not a dumb man. OSHA's walking through the gate. Get a phone call. Hey, you got to go. Come on, man. Don't play me for a fool. You know, I know exactly what's going on. You don't want me talking to them to say so.
What do you think they were afraid you would tell OSHA?
The truth.
Even without Joey's testimony, what OSHA found was damning. V.T. Halter admitted they didn't just break the law. They broke it 17 times. For 12 of those violations, including the failure to use ventilation and explosion-proof lights, they either broke the law on purpose or acted with, quote, plain indifference to employee safety. The Secretary of Labor at the time, Hilda Solis, called the explosion horrific and preventable. The company had to pay a fine of more than $860,000. V.T. Halter declined numerous requests for an interview, but Clyde Payne says the fines and bad press should give them an incentive to clean up their act.
I think in the long run, they'll find themselves less profitable. They will lose business from some companies.
But V.T. Halter didn't lose business from one major customer, the U.S. Navy. Just a month after the accident, V.T. Halter won a Navy contract worth $87 million to build a survey vessel. It was named the Maury and christened by Lisa Jackson, the former EPA administrator under President Obama.
I christen thee Maury. May God bless the ship and all who sail in her.
During my investigation, I found this was a recurring pattern. Serious injuries and deadly accidents followed by large federal contracts. Since Bram's accident, the Navy's given V.T. Halter more than $340 million in contracts. The money flowed in even as another worker was killed when the lid of a sandblasting pot tore into his face, and another was blinded in a crane accident. And that's just one company. Over that same period, the federal government has awarded at least $91 billion in contracts to shipbuilders cited for serious safety lapses. I wanted to find out why this was happening, so I set up a call with NAVSEA, the part of the Navy that actually oversees ship construction.
So good morning to you. It's early out there.
Yes, good morning to you guys.
The call was with the press guy, Dale Eng, and two engineers, Tracy Bala and Mike Adams. I started by asking how they oversee safety after a contract is signed. The operations manual for NAVSEA staffers says they don't enforce federal workplace safety laws in private shipyards. Is that right?
The shipbuilder has a responsibility to abide by all federal laws, and it's specified in the terms of the contract.
They seem to have two answers to all of my questions. One was that they pay attention to safety all the time. The other was that the safety of workers employed by private contractors isn't their responsibility. Here's Tracy's colleague, Mike Adams.
It's not that we're saying, hey, we're not taking care of the shipyard workers. That's not our job. The shipyard takes care of their own workers. They treat their own workers. In fact, the shipyard has massive safety programs, all of them. They emphasize it all day long. It's all, if they catch one of us walking on their shipyard doing unsafe, they'll kick us off the yard.
So if you're not, if NAVSEA doesn't have an enforcement role, then if a safety hazard emerged, how would it be treated? Can you sort of take me through each step?
I want to go off the record.
They did this a couple of times. They also put me on hold twice.
Can you just give us a second to talk about this real quick?
Sure.
I still want to know how they awarded contracts to companies like V.T. Halter in the first place. I asked them if they considered a company's safety record at all, but the most I got was this.
I think to answer your question, about, safety influencing future contracts, I for us to sit here and say that it's, you didn't do this, Huntington Ingalls, or you didn't do this, BAE. Therefore, no, you can't build the next whatever. I think that's...
No. But actually, a more likely safety scenario is that OSHA increases standards.
In other words, the Navy is saying safety, that's OSHA's job. But think about V.T. Halter. After the tugboat explosion, OSHA fined them hundreds of thousands of dollars. But the Navy gave them a contract for more than 100 times that amount. As long as the Navy keeps handing out contracts like that, shipyards don't have much of a financial incentive to become less dangerous. I wanted to ask the Navy about specific contracts and companies, but after telling me there were officials who could talk specifics in a second call...
Maybe the best thing for us to do is schedule another interview.
A Navy spokesperson told me no one was available. Whatever the justification, Clyde Payne, the former OSHA director in Mississippi, says when the Navy contracts with companies like V.T. Halter, it sends the wrong message.
When the government doesn't take its business someplace else, sending the message is all right. We're not going to measure you by your safety and health performance. And if we don't step up and measure companies by their safety and health performance as a part of the contract, then we're not doing the right thing.
While the Navy was contracting with VT Halter for hundreds of millions of dollars, you may wonder how much VT Halter was paying the survivors of that tugboat explosion. In the case of Bram Yates, the answer is zero. But not for lack of trying. He talked to personal injury lawyer Skip Finkbonner.
Would you have chosen to sue VT Halter you could have?
Absolutely, we would have. Absolutely, we would have.
Why?
They're responsible for this. I mean, it was their solvent, it was their rags, it was their buckets, it was their non-explosion-proof lights, it was their hull, it was their job, and they told the guys what to do. Of course I would have sued Halter Marine.
But why didn't you?
Well, there's a bar, but legally you can't do that.
The law makes it almost impossible for injured workers to sue their employers. Instead, payments from workers' compensation insurance are supposed to take care of them. Bram, he got $100,000 in workers' comp, roughly what he'd make in 3 years working full-time in shipyards. But remember, he can't work in the heat anymore, and roofing and shipbuilding are pretty much the only work he's ever done. So he's trying to use that $100,000 to set up the rest of his life. He took me to see how.
So is that the Pascagoula?
A short drive from his mom's house, we come to a neighborhood of small houses and RVs.
Mine's there, the brown and green one.
They're all on stilts. The whole area is flooded during the rainy season, and you need a boat to get home. The people here call them camps. Bram's does seem temporary.
I haven't been here.
Inside, the drywall is unfinished and the electricity is out. He can't afford the power bill. Outside, beams holding up the floor are falling apart. And a huge tree is leaning on the roof.
How much is it going to take to fix this place up?
I don't know. Probably about $10,000.
What would it take for you to have $10,000? Like, when do you see having the money to finish it?
I don't, really. I don't see me having the money.
He can't work, he can't sue, and the only fines VT Halter paid for the explosion went to the government, not the survivors. That $100,000 in workers' compensation, it's all Bram got, and he spent all of it.
When you think back to the accident, Bram, do you ever feel like I could have gotten more, I should have gotten more?
Yeah, I should have gotten more. Yeah, I should have gotten more. This thing ought to be fully remodeled.
And why isn't it done?
Because I don't have the money to do it. Because by the time I bought everything else that I needed, you know, boat, vehicles, and appliances, and furniture, and it was gone. My money was gone quick. And now I'm broke without nothing. Makes me sick in my stomach. But it'll get all right. It'll get straight one day, though. Sooner or later. Something's got to give.
That story from Jennifer Golland was produced by Stan Alcorn. Since this story first aired, we got some tragic news. Last month, Bram's mom, Liz, got a call from the hospital. Bram had gone into cardiac arrest.
And I said, yes, resuscitate. And about 30 minutes later, they come out and said he's gone. And I just completely lost it.
Doctors told Liz that there was meth in Bram's system. Liz says he'd been depressed for the last month. He couldn't find any work, and his dog Zeus had just died.
I told him not too long ago, I said, Bram, you got to fight this depression. You've got to fight this depression.
Ultimately, she blames VT Halter and the U.S. Navy.
God's going to take care of him, the way I look at it. Because like Mama said, the dark will always come to the light.
Senators Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, and Patty Murray have called on the Department of Justice to open a criminal investigation into VT Halter. But so far as we know, that hasn't happened, and the number of Navy shipbuilding contracts may be about to go up, because President Donald Trump has promised to radically expand the nation's fleet. Next, we go aboard what was supposed to be a ship of the future. You're listening to Reveal from the Center for Investigative Reporting and PRX.